This is The Record. I'm Ross Reynolds. What does race mean? Is race defined by science, by biology? Is it defined by society? Is there confusion about the biological basis of race and how we view race? These are some of the questions approached in a new exhibit at the Pacific Science Center. It's called Race, Are We So Different? In conjunction with the exhibit, the Pacific Science Center and City of Seattle are hosting two evening events to examine the state of racial inequities in the U.S., and we're joined by two people who are participating in a panel on this tonight at the PACCAR Theater of the Pacific Science Center. John Powell helped put the exhibit together. He's director of the Haas Institute for a Fair and Inclusive Society, and he's the Robert D. Haas Chancellor's Chair in Equity and Inclusion at the University of California, Berkeley. Welcome, John Powell.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And also with us in the studio, Julie Nelson, Director of Race and Social Justice Initiative at the City of Seattle. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you.
I'm going to start with you, John. In the popular mind, race is this giant division between people. But when you get down to the biological level, what's the difference?
Well, race, its biological foundation for race has largely been discredited, and that's been true for close to 100 years. So I often say it's a biological fiction, but a social fact. And there are a lot of things like that, but most people don't think in scientific terms. So we do think of race as being essential, as being biology, as being genes. All of that's pretty wrong. But then when we sort of think of race being socially constructed, we think, well, if it's not science and I was wrong, it must not exist. And that's wrong as well.
Because society is taking maybe false ideas about science and piling all these other ideas on top of it?
Yeah, and social construction actually is quite important. I say race is false in the same way as money is false. Money is only important because we socially have give importance to it. You know, it has no intrinsic value of itself. We can't eat it. We can't, you know, it doesn't cover us up at night when we're warm. But we make social agreements to use it as an exchange. So race actually is a social agreement. And a way in which we categorize and sort people and sort opportunity. But it's not scientific.
I just want to stop at the scientific point for a moment because I think it's really important to emphasize. This is from the exhibit. Scientifically, no one gene or any set of genes can support the idea of race. And this focuses on science, what science says about human variation and our species history. I mean, I think some ideas, socially derived ideas about race, derive from some belief that there is some fundamental biological difference. But when you get down to the biology, not there.
It's not there. And some of the science was actually after the fact. I mean, we were looking for, you know, we went looking for scientific definitions. There's a whole period which is called scientific racism, where we start measuring head size and measuring the length of bones, trying to find something, because we already started creating this social category of race. One of the things is doing some work. So what work is it doing? Why is it so important to us? Why, since the beginning of the 20th century, we've known scientifically that race, there's no basis for race, but it doesn't go away.
Julie, why do you think it is that even though there's no scientific basis for it, we still have strong ideas about race, and it forms divisions in our society?
Well, we have seen the sort of the way that race has evolved over time and has been constructed over time. And so my office, in addition to leading the Race Social Justice Initiative, also enforces anti-discrimination law. And right now, where we see sort of race playing out when it comes to anti-discrimination law is that there's fewer individual acts of bigotry. And what we see instead is that policies, practices, and procedures have evolved actually to get to the same racialized outcomes.
Give me an example of that.
Well, one of the things, the City of Seattle just passed a new policy around the use of criminal background checks in employment decisions. And so that is a policy that was on the face not explicit about race. However, we know that the racial inequities in the criminal justice system, that there's more people coming out of prison who are of some racial categories than others. And so a policy that when an employer advertised a position saying no felons, no criminal backgrounds, that actually excluded people of color in a disproportionate way. So that's an example of a policy.
And that takes us to kind of the broader picture. And John Powell, a lot of your work at Berkeley has to do not just with divisions between people based on race, but also based on how much money they make and many other things in society.
Right.
So part of what you're doing is kind of making these connections where they exist, right?
That's right.
And where do you see some of them when it comes to race?
Well, a couple of things. So what you're describing, Ross, is what I call the othering process. We other people along a number of different axes. And it's not just a personal thing. Society plays a large role. We create structures. We create stories. We create laws. We create policies to other people. And we other around race, gender, sexual orientation, disability. And we use that not just to define the targeted other, but to define ourselves. So there's a powerful relationship. And the human brain seems to be wired to do some kind of othering. The actual content and strength of it is completely social. So race is not, you know, we don't have to do race. We could do something else. We could do height. We could do language.
You know, you mentioned we create stories, and stories have a powerful effect on us. A good story convinces us of all kinds of things. What are some of the stories? You said we create stories about race. What are some of those stories, and how do they misinform or inform what's going on when it comes to race?
Well, we tell many stories, and one of the most powerful stories is a story about the self. So I often mention that, yes, race is socially constructed. There's not a scientific foundation for it, but that's largely true of the self. And most people would say, okay, since part of the thing is that things have social meaning and reality, and they don't have to be grounded in science. So part of it is, but it holds us together in some way. It sort of gives us an identity, and we all need some kind of identity, and we construct it along many axes. Most of us have multiple identities. We're a man, we're an older man, we're a black man, we're a Christian. These are identities, and this sort of gives us our place in society. And so that's part of the story. And these stories keep shifting. Our identities keep shifting, and we define these stories in terms of us and them. And the other is already and always a part of us. The other is not, Hegel talked about the infinite other. There's no such being as the infinite other.
Well, if we're defining the other and there's no biological basis for it, it's based on a story we may have told one another, and we'd like to get to a point where we're not creating otherness, we're creating togetherness. I mean, do you have to combat that with better stories since the facts don't seem to matter, Julie?
No, I do think that better stories are absolutely critical, and for us to actually be clear about what it is that we're aiming to achieve. So within Seattle, I think that many of us take pride in the fact that we're a pretty progressive city, that there's a lot of things that we do, whether we're voting to approve levies for funding for low-income housing or families and education levies. We do good liberal things. The unfortunate reality is that at the same time, we see the same racial outcomes here as anywhere else in the country. And so whether we're talking about education, criminal justice, jobs, or housing, that people of color are doing disproportionately worse than white people in Seattle. And so for us, thinking about sort of the story that we want to tell, jobs, housing, education, these are things that all of us need. What we need to develop collectively is a system and structures that work to all of our benefits.
We're talking about some of the ideas in an exhibit at the Civic Science Center called Race, Are We So Different? And I want to go back to the history of it because it just fascinates me. One of the things the exhibit talks about is how race has not always existed, sorting people by physical differences only a few hundred years old. And John Powell, you were telling me in the green room that the idea of whiteness is even younger than that.
Yes, it's traced back to about the 17th century. And the more recent version of whiteness goes back to 1940. So if you go back prior to 1940, most people who today would call themselves white Americans would have defined themselves ethnically. So you had Irish American neighborhoods, you had Italian American neighborhoods, you had Greek American neighborhoods, you had separate schools, separate newspapers, and that's how people define their identity. What changed that? And this is important because it wasn't just a story. It was also physical structures, the suburbs. Suburban America didn't just create a new geography for space. It created a new white identity. So ethnic whites traded in their ethnicity for a racial identity, becoming the most salient identity. At the same time, that racial identity line hardened between whites and blacks. So what's happening now is actually we're in the process of, I think, creating another racial identity that's quite profound. And it's also anxiety producing as we sort of are pushed into new identities. It's not a comfortable process. And it's not a purely conscious process. But so the structures, the stories we tell, the fact that we had segregated schools right? It's saying, here's a structure saying, you, if you're white and black, even though we don't know what that means, you can't go to the same school. The fact that we had anti-miscegenation laws, even though we didn't know who was on. Different states actually measured race differently. So in one state, two people could be white. They could go to another state, and one of those people could become non-white. All of a sudden, they're breaking the law.
A perfect example of the social construct of race, which is a big part of this exhibit. And now you guys got me really interested. I'm going to have to go down and check it out in person. It opened recently. It's called Race, Are We So Different? And John Powell helped put it together. He's the Robert D. Haas Chancellor's Chair in Equity and Inclusion at the University of California, Berkeley. And also with us in the studio, Julie Nelson, Director of Race and Social Justice Initiative at the City of Seattle. They're going to be speaking about this evening at 7 o'clock at the PACCAR Theater at Pacific Science Center. Some of the things that are in the exhibit. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds.